am Lisa Davis, and recently I was at Whole Foods, and there was a woman sampling some sauerkraut or kimchi or a cultured type of cabbage and other vegetables. And I usually steer away, even though I know I shouldn't, because they're so healthy for our gut. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to take the plunge. And they were really good. There was one that had like chipotle, another one had ginger. And I thought, this is so good. And it made me think about the wonderful Jeanette Hyde, who wrote this fantastic book, The Gut Makeover, 4 weeks to Nourish Your Gut, Revolutionize Your Health, and Lose Weight. Jeanette, welcome to the show.
Hello.
It's so nice to have you on. I mean, we've been hearing more and more about gut health. As a matter of fact, in the introduction you write, the media have declared that there is a revolution, and that is not too strong a word, happening right now in the nutrition world. Tell us about this revolution.
I'm just really excited about this, and this is how I came to write the book. What has been happening is that there has been a ton of research over the past few years, which is, has been about the microbiome. Have you heard about the microbiome?
Yes.
Okay, so for anyone who hasn't heard about it yet, this is the 3 or 4 pounds of gut bacteria that lives in our intestines. And in the past, it was always assumed by the medical profession that this bacteria was benign and not very useful to us at all. It was largely ignored. And then, there was a load of research, and this has just snowballed, where the scientists have now discovered this bacteria is absolutely crucial to our health. And from where I'm standing, I think this is the biggest, I mean, there's trillions of bacteria in there, and it's influencing our mood, our weight, our immune system. It has a lot to do with our digestive symptoms. And from where I'm standing, I think this is the biggest thing that has hit the health world probably, you know, for a century or so. I think that in the 20th century, we were all very sort of attached to this calories in and calories out thing to control our weight. I think once you start looking at the microbiome and the influence it's having on our metabolism and our hunger hormones, that's just like scratching the surface, then it's almost like, you know, if you think 500 years ago, people thought the world was flat and then somebody said it was round. It's on that level. I think it will totally change the way that we look at all food and the way that we feed ourselves for the rest of time from here on. And it's just going to get louder. And I think that if you can start to adopt some principles to really nourish your microbiome, you can really take control of some areas of your health.
Yeah, I've been doing health radio for 9 years and health media, so I know a lot about it. But boy, I learned some really interesting things in your book. One of them was, you write, there is a growing body of research showing that not all calories are created equal. Junk food, sugar, artificial sweeteners, alcohol, and meat reared on antibiotics may change the balance of bacteria in the gut and actually make us extract more calories from them than unprocessed foods, even if the calorie counts are the same. So this is like 102 reasons of why we need to avoid all that crap, right? The list can
Absolutely.
Go on forever. But that was fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I myself, and I talk a little bit about this in the book, you know, when I was younger, I did all that sort of calorie counting in and out, you know, and I was, you know, I thought that, you know, if, you know, I would go out to an evening function, have a few drinks of alcohol, a few canapes, and on the way back to the station, you know, stop at McDonald's and have a hamburger because, you know, I looked at the smallest hamburger they had on the menu. I wasn't having the fries and I wasn't having the soda, so I thought it was absolutely fine. But, you know, I was always struggling with managing my weight. And then when I kind of started to see the science that was coming out about this, it kind of all made sense why, you know, every time I started doing all that calorie counting stuff, you know, I'd be really so-called good for a while. But, you know, after a while, I'd then catch a cold and then I'd kind of like get really ill again. So I just think, I mean, if you think about the principles of the microbiome, you want to have, we've got these trillions of bacteria in there. And we've got some of the bacteria in there is really good, helpful bacteria. And some of it is bad bacteria that's not good for us. And so when you eat a sort of microbiome-friendly diet, what you can do is you kind of nourish the good bacteria in your gut so that it really flourishes and it becomes, in the majority in the gut rather than in the minority. Whereas if you have, you know, you're sort of fueling your microbiome with sugar and maybe too much alcohol, and you're having a very monotonous sure. beige-coloured diet with not mm-hmm. enough diversity in it, you can be feeding the bad bacteria. And the other thing is, if you're having antibiotics, that can be like a sledgehammer on the good bacteria too.
Oh, completely.
So you want to have like this stuff flourishing, and then within that, you want to have lots and lots of different types of bacteria. And so there are sort of various ways that you can do that, and I explain that in the book.
Yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm going to do your 4-week plan, and I want you to come back, because I'll let you know when I'm going to start. You know, I get so many books. There's so many plans. This one just really grabbed me because I have leaky gut, and it stinks, because the way it affects me is, for some reason, it nuts seem to be the worst thing. And that just makes me insane, because there's so many great things you could do with almonds these days. And when I eat nuts, I get tired. Sometimes I eat them anyway because I just can't resist. So that's how it affects me. I also notice when I eat a mostly paleo and some Mediterranean, I feel better. You know, like if I'm going to have a little bit of grass-fed organic meat and a big salad and a yam and some avocado, I'm not going to have any food hangover. I'm going to feel fantastic. But if I'm going to have a bunch of nuts and then some pizza, you know, and something else highly processed and junky, then I'm going to feel crappy. And so I kind of stay on the straight and narrow more in terms of like the junk food. I'm not counting the nuts, but, you know, and then I feel better, whereas some people don't notice that they're really feeling kind of crappy until they take a step back. They're like, oh, wow, I don't have to be foggy headed all the time, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's one thing I really invite you to do on this plan is to start listening to your gut. So as you've just described, I mean, that's another thing. There's no one perfect diet that fits the whole population. That's what you have to realize, is that we're all individually different. And, you know, nuts might be really healthy for one person, and for somebody else, they might give them a terrible flatulence or bloating problem, or, you know, make them feel foggy headed or whatever. So I really encourage you on this plan. I give you some general principles, but I also encourage you to really, really take notice of, you know, after you've eaten something, how it's making you feel. And if, let's say, you know, supposedly healthy nuts, which for a lot of people are okay, but if they're not for you, take them out, because, you know, you need to tailor your diet to your particular gut.
Exactly. Now, I mentioned the paleo and the Mediterranean. And would you say yours is sort of a mix?
I would, actually, yes. The thing is that for all 4 weeks, I encourage you to have, you know, a decent piece of protein with each meal, because that will make you feel full up, but also to have just so many plants that, you know, they're coming out of your ears practically. So, you know, load up on this stuff. Don't hold back on the portion control, you know, chew your food thoroughly. But, you know, it's about this diversity. I say try and get it, you know, if you can, 30 different types of, you know, vegetables, fresh herbs, maybe, you know, a couple of pieces of fruit each day, and have stuff with all the fiber and all the color, because in the color, that's got all these polyphenols in it, which feed good bacteria in the gut. So that's where the Mediterranean diet comes in. Because what I love about the Mediterranean diet is the default oil is extra virgin olive oil. What's that full of? That's full of polyphenols, which feed this good bacteria in the gut. And it's also got, you know, this diversity thing. So, you know, like your trays of Mediterranean chopped vegetables, you know, your courgettes, your peppers, you know, eggplants, you know, I should have said zucchini there, shouldn't I? But onions, you know, you sort of drizzle your olive oil over the top, you put some herbs on top. You can use dried herbs as well, and you put it in the oven for half an hour. The other big thing that I've put in here, which is, you know, not very paleo, is it? Is and it's more sort of European, I would say. Well, I've put in there a German potato salad, because when you have potatoes and they cool down, when they're cold, they form something called resistant starch. And this is a type of fiber that is like a gourmet food for your gut bacteria. So,
really?
Potatoes have been quite demonized, I think, over the
past
few years. And, you know, the thing, I love potatoes personally.
I'm glad to hear this.
So, you know, a German potato salad, and my mother-in-law is German, by the way, so, you know, got the influence from her on this one. But you make a vinaigrette dressing, again, sort of a more of a Mediterranean dressing, which is, you know, the extra virgin olive oil. You've got some vinegar of your choice. You might have, you know, a bit of French mustard in there, some sea salt. You put a bit of chicken stock, you know, if you've made your own and you've got some in the fridge, you know, the one that's quite jellified, so, you know, it's got lots of collagen in there, which is good for your gut lining. And you give it a little mix, and then you pour it over the cold sliced potatoes, and you let it really soak in, and it tastes delicious. And you can put it in your packed lunch the next day, and you come home from work, you know, you can make a big load, and it's there just to keep life interesting.
Oh, that sounds so great. Well, you know, I opened the show by talking about cultured foods and fermented foods and how important they are. And I've been eating a little bowl every day, even though I'm still not used to, like, the tanginess of it. And you know, it's a very strong flavor. But I have to say, I have been feeling really good, and I'm really proud of myself. So I think if you just get yourself to eat it, although my husband loves it, and he makes kimchi with eggs, and oh my God, the whole house smells to high heaven.
Oh, lovely.
Yes. Yeah. My 12-year-old daughter is not happy. Daddy, I can't eat near. What have you done? But we remind her that it's very healthy and it's good for her dad. But anyway, so talk to us about the cultured foods and why they're so important.
Yeah, and this is the thing. I work with clients day in, day out on a one-on-one basis. And often people come to see me and one of their opening questions is quite often like, what probiotic pills can you give me for my gut? And they're often surprised that I say to them, we're going to try to use real food for this. That's where I see, in my experience, the best results. And also, the research is looking very good on food. So if you start looking at the research, there's with a lot of the pills, it's a bit hit and miss which ones are getting the bacteria all the way down to the colon, you know, and make surviving through the stomach acid. The thing that I like is, for instance, I like kefir very much, which is, for people who don't know, it's fermented milk kefir. But you can, if you tolerate milk all right, that is. But it's, you can also use these grains, and it can be made, you can have water kefir, and there's coconut kefir. There's various ones around that you can buy. But I like using kefir because it's got tens of billions of bacteria in each serving. So when you get into these high numbers, there's a really good chance of the surviving to the colon. And the second thing is, I saw a piece of Italian research the other day about kefir, where a group of people in Italy were put on, they were just asked to have a small serving of kefir every morning for 1 month, and then their stool results were looked at to see, you know, sort of how much, you know, these prebiotics were getting through the colon. And they were having fantastic survival rates all the way through. So so it's not just sort of looking at research about the real food, but also what I see in terms of people getting better when I work with them on the real food. So, you know, and also I think with real food, it's something that you can do sustainably for the long term. You know, you don't have to worry, oh, have I bought those pills? Have I put them in the fridge? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You can sort of eat this stuff and hopefully enjoy yourself as well, like you with your sauerkraut. You could be forking just a tablespoon every day over a nice mixed salad that you've made, or, you know, having a bit on the side. Some people might like to use fermented miso, you know, just wait, you've made a stir fry, you can stir a bit through the stir fry when you've switched off the flame on the cooker, just at the end, because you don't want to kill all the bacteria in the miso.
Yeah, I completely agree. So we want to be eating it, getting it from the food, but what if your child just can't tolerate it, or they won't eat it? What are there any probiotics that you'd recommend, or even for adults?
I mean, I do, in the UK, there is a very sort of strong, well-researched liquid probiotic that I sometimes use specifically for things like when I, you know, recently I was working with a child who didn't like vegetables and didn't like fermented food. So, yeah, we used that for 3 months. So, yeah, I mean, it's a short-term intervention, and sometimes, yeah, that's worth looking at.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. Now, you know, when you're doing the plan, let's talk about each step, because you've got four steps to the plan, and you have great names. So tell us about the first step in the week gut makeover. That's repair. Okay. That's the first phase, yes. I should say. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, it's a 4-week plan, and it's in two stages. So the first 2 weeks, I sort of encourage you to remove from the diet some of the stuff that isn't maybe sort of boosting your gut and helping it that much, and sort of loading into the diet all the right stuff. So I encourage you to have 3 hearty meals a day, starting with, because you've got to get a lot of portions of vegetables in every day. So you kind of need to start. This is not a deprivation diet, by the way. So this, if you enjoy eating and you like food, I'm hoping that you're going to be enjoying the food a lot. So you might start off in the morning with, breakfast. Some people don't have much appetite at breakfast, but if you do, you can have quite a bit of food. And if you don't have much appetite, you could just have the small things. So you could start with, for instance, a shake that you make in a blender. You could put into there some almond milk, hopefully one that doesn't have all the carrageenan and all the soapy stabilizers and things.
Well, talk to us about those for a minute, because... Yeah. That's something that seems so hard to get away from. I mean, I get almond milk for my family. I do a coconut milk beverage. I have never found one that doesn't have those things in them. Talk to us about that, and I guess we should be making our own?
Yeah, but for almond milk, I went in Whole Foods just yesterday, and I did see one that was just
you did?
Almonds, salt, and water or something. So, I would encourage you just to keep looking at the labels and having a look around. The other thing is some people do make their own. I mean, I'm assuming with my book that most people have not got time to make their own, so I tried to... You know, so that's the almond milk. Or you could just sort of make with the almond milk, you could throw in, if you're not intolerant to them, some almonds. You could, or flax seeds would be quite good, because flax seeds contain these a particular type of fiber that feeds the good bacteria. And then they produce a fuel which helps to mend a leaky gut. You see what I mean? How complex this whole is. But terms of you, just looking at your blender, and you've got a minute to make something before you go to work, you could just put a good quality almond milk in there. You could put a tablespoonful of flax seeds in there, and then you could have like a handful of frozen berries. I quite often use frozen berries. They're miles cheaper than the fresh ones, and they've still got all the color and the fiber in them. They're quite refreshing if you just throw them in the blender. And then you might put in a little bit of fresh ginger if you like fresh ginger, and that's anti-inflammatory. Zoom it all up, and you can drink that, and off you go, and hopefully that keeps you going 4.5 to 5 hours till lunchtime. Some people will need more food than that. So in which case you might have a couple of eggs, and you might then start be using this as an opportunity to get load up on more vegetables. So you might sort of wilt a bit of spinach, you might have some tomatoes, you might have some mushrooms that you've stir-fried in a bit of olive oil. Do you get the picture?
Yes.
Okay, and then you go, but for lunches, I generally recommend that people, if they can, try and make double quantities of whatever they're having the night before, and then sort of take, with them for the lunch the next day, the leftovers. It's just, once you get into that habit, it can just mean, again, if you're going to work and that, you've got control over, food accessibility and all the rest of it. And in the evening, again, sort of protein with loads of plants. I really encourage people, if they possibly can, to do the Mediterranean thing, have a 3-course meal, which might sound more overwhelming than it is, because... in this day and age, you can go in the supermarket, you can buy a packet of, is it arugula, how you pronounce it in American?
Arugula
salad.
Yes.
You take a handful, again, green leafy vegetables, you want loads of those. Take a nice big handful, it's lovely peppery in flavour, drizzle over a bit of extra virgin olive oil, a little bit of balsamic vinegar, a little bit of sea salt, and that's one whole portion down you. That's the starter, and it hopefully takes the edge off your hunger. You then get onto your main course. It could be, it could be your German potato salad. It could be more, the Mediterranean roast vegetables on the side. You might have a bit of roast chicken or some fish or some eggs, whatever sort of protein you're interested in. And then, marathon, I'm almost there. Then you get to your dessert. And again, you might have something like, you might have a piece of pineapple, for instance, if you tolerate it okay, it's sliced. Or you can even buy those ready chopped up in the supermarket in the fresh section. I know it's a bit more expensive doing that way, but if you haven't got much time. And the pineapple contains all these natural enzymes that help break down the food. So they get, so hopefully that meal's getting digested. I do encourage you to chew really thoroughly. This is very important, so that, you know, that the food's fully digested by the time it reaches the microbiome. You don't want undigested particles of food getting there, and then, you know, you can get into some the bacteria getting out of balance and getting bloating. So, but that's your whole, that's a typical day. And
well, that's great.
Yeah, and then, but the interesting thing is people are losing weight this way, and I mean, on average, because I've worked with many people doing it now, I'd say very average is about 8 pounds weight loss in 1 month.
Oh, wow.
So it's not a crash diet or anything.
No, it's perfect. It's 2 pounds per week. 1 to 2 pounds per week is healthy weight loss.
Yeah. Some people have contacted me who lost double that amount of weight. That's interesting too. So, but it really, really does, you know, vary from person to person. I guess it depends on, you know, what readjustments are happening in your microbiome. But the thing that is most interesting for me, and it has been just all the other improvements in health that people see. You know, the things that a lot of the time people think you must have to take a pill to resolve that particular issue. But, you know, especially a lot of the digestive issues where, you know, people are taking antacids and things like that. And people have got in touch with me and said, like, after 4 or 5 days, they've been, you know, their heartburn they'd had 10 years has gone. It has been incredible. I've also been working with St Mary's University in London, with their psychology department, and we've been sort of tracking results, you know, on a symptoms questionnaire with people before and after. And what we've seen there is sort of dramatic improvements, not only in the digestive issues, but also in people's mood, memory, and cognition, and all that kind of stuff as well. So it seems to be that you see dramatic improvements in the digestive issues, and then you see improvement in the mind as well.
You know, I'm wondering, too, in terms of leaky gut, have you heard from folks who, after doing your program, are able to add maybe some whole grains that maybe they were intolerant to, or some nuts or other things, and have said, you know what, I'm actually able to tolerate this better? That's what I'm hoping.
Well, okay, so...
Or is that too soon of a time?
I would, in my experience, leaky gut takes a few months. But it also does depend how extensive the leaky gut is. I mean, in some people, they have a very extensively leaky gut, and some people, it's just a little bit, and so it will depend from person to person. So the thing is, as well, in that this plan is you take out of the diet all the sugar, you take out all these sort of, you know, the wheat and all these sort of beige colored grains, because you're loading in with all this color and fiber instead. But yes, some people, do they put them back in after a month? Well, it depends from person to person where you can find, you know, the thing is, after a month, I do encourage you to start putting grains back in and things like that.
Oh, good.
What I encourage you to do is to keep a food and symptom diary.
Oh, yes.
And track your symptoms and see. And people have come back to me with some incredible things that they've discovered at that point, where one woman had had heartburn for 10 years. And when she, well, actually, this was halfway through the program, some of the heartburn came back. And I said, keep a food and symptom diary. And she did. And she actually found out that chicken was the trigger for this heartburn. I mean, it was quite revolutionary for her. Yeah, but I'm just using that as an example,
sure,
just to show you that everybody's so individually different, and it's just about really listening to your gut. But yeah, removing stuff and reintroducing can be a very good thing to do.
Wow. See, that is fascinating. That's something that I would not have thought about, right? I mean, I think you think of like the corn, the soy, the dairy, the wheat, the gluten, all that kind of thing. So that must have been huge for her, you know?
It was massive. We just couldn't believe it, actually. Because, I had never come across that before. But what it taught me was that everybody is so individually different.
Exactly. That is so true. Let's jump into some of these recipes. Okay, so you've got liquid breakfast. You have something called the green. Is this gunge? Is that how you say that?
Yes. I have to say, I was slightly kind of being a bit, is the word, irreverent about,
sure,
you know,
it.
all the kind of the holier than thou and the green juice and, you know, the whole thing. It's like, okay, at the end of the day, it's just a whole load of spring guns. That's what it looks like. Sure. I think so. But at the same time, I want people to find this accessible, that it's not sort of so sort of holier than thou that they can't. I just want this to be really practical. I've tried to fill the book with stuff that you can generally get in a regular supermarket. And again, with that gunge, it's about, you know, having a blender, getting a handful of spinach, you know, putting a peeled orange in there. Because, by the way, you want all the fiber and the color from the orange. You know, you don't want to sort of be juicing it. No. And then just having the sugar and not that fiber. The pith is the most important bit. That's the food for your good bacteria. And then you put in some nuts and, you know, you could put in, you know, whatever else you fancy with some water and, you know, and then in the blender. And then you've got that thing and you're ready to go.
And then for lunches and dinners, you have this wonderful chicory and apple salad. I didn't even know what chicory was. I didn't even realize that it's a slightly bitter vegetable. I don't even think I've seen it before.
It's in the supermarkets. It looks like a small sort of, you know, leafy. You can get them in a purpley color and you can get them in the sort of greeny whitey color. But what's brilliant about them is they've got prebiotic fibers in them. So they're like a superfood for sort of feeding the bacteria in the gut. So and the other thing about them is they are slightly bitter. So if you have, you know, I said, you know, if you can make yourself that three-course meal, be a bit ritualistic about it in the evening, you can sort of chop up one of those quite quickly. And they're bitter. So when you eat something bitter at the start of a meal, it triggers the release of the stomach acid quite well in the stomach. So it will help you break down that meal better. And then, you know, prebiotics, I have a list in the book.
You have some great stir fries in here. I mean, there's some really fabulous recipes. One of the ones I thought was interesting was a warm chicken salad. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that you stir fry a little bit of sort of onion and in olive oil, and you splash in your vinegar, and then you pour that over the salad. I find it tastes really nice. A lot of these recipes, I mean, there's 50 recipes in there, and people, I keep hearing time and time again, people say to me, my God, I didn't really, I was so surprised that the recipes were so delicious. And you know, I love it when people say that, because these recipes, a lot of them are my style of cooking that I have just, you know, honed over several years. I've got a family that I've been feeding. I also have traveled a lot back and forth places like Spain. My sister-in-law is Chinese. I spent some time in South America. And it's basically a culmination of lots of dishes that I've learned over the years and I've enjoyed. And I really like eating food. You know, I enjoy the experience. So I hope that people will have a good experience.
Well, I think you're wonderful. Again, the book is called The Gut Makeover, 4 Weeks to Nourish Your Gut, Revolutionize Your Health, and Lose Weight. Jeanette Hyde. Jeanette, tell us all the ways we can learn more about you and your fantastic book.
Well, it's in all the major bookshops across the States. Barnes & Noble apparently have got a lot in. It's on, you know, Amazon as usual, and you can also get it from Bloomsbury, who's the publisher, from our website. And if you go on my Facebook page, there is actually an offer of 30% off if you just follow the link on there.
Well, I want to thank you again, Jeanette. This has been fantastic. Loved having you on the show.
Thank you.